Our next speaker is Bill Shoeb, and Bill is from the, I always read the wrong thing, professor at the Department of Public Policy, and he's at the University of Virginia. And he's also part of the Frank Batten School of Leadership and Public Policy, Director, Center for Economic and Policy Studies, Weldon Cooper Center for Public Service. Please welcome Bill Shoeb.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me?
Great. I just want to say how honored I am to be the first male to give a presentation today. I really feel quite honored. I was hoping when Paige, my co-researcher, Paige Bullen, and I first sent in this abstract, we had hoped to present some preliminary results to you today. But we have a problem in that we have to get IRB approval from two different universities. And we are stuck in between the universities right now with our IRB approval, so everything is ready. Except we can't gather any evidence. So it's in the mail, I'm sure, but it did not get to me in time. I'm going to skip over really quickly what you all already know, all the results about how important words are and how important conversation is. But I do want to mention that not everyone agrees with this point of view. Some of you are not going to be old enough to recognize this, I acknowledge, but it's well worth watching. Okay, so let me just say something about the Apsiderian experiment in particular, because there's a point I want to make about it. Everybody's familiar with the results. We have lots of great evidence about the importance of conversation and the importance of words. But what I want to point you to is the bottom line. I am an economist, by the way, and so bottom lines are really important to me. And I want to talk to you, if I can find the... anybody see the pointer there? Oh, there it is. Look here. That Apsiderian project cost $43,000 per child. Even at $43,000 per child, it earned a 7% rate of return on investment. Not bad, but it costs way too much. We could never roll something like that out broadly in the economy because it would simply be too expensive. We have to find a way to make it cheaper. If we expect to provide it universally around the country. Let's see, what else? Oh, my touch. Okay. This is just more stuff you all know. The importance of storybook reading and dialogue. Okay, so here's what I want to talk about today. Why can't we make it work? Well, you can. You make it work in the laboratory all the time. The question is, why can't we make it work when we take these fabulous laboratory results and roll them out into cities and counties around the country. The evidence we have is not really very encouraging. Recent meta-analysis of data from a lot of studies have a lot of trouble finding effect of programs once they are rolled out into the real world. Also, National Early Literacy Panel, there's a knot missing there. Do not know about the development. There's much we do not know about the development of early literacy skills and about the effectiveness of interventions. I want to know what we can do to make it work better. And of course, I'm speaking at the LENA Foundation Conference, so part of that story is going to be how can we use LENA to improve the actual implementation, the outcomes, actual implementations of these programs. Now, instead of talking about Hart and Risley, I could have talked to you about the declining relative educational outcomes in the U.S. relative to other countries in the world. I could have talked to you about declining real wages for people with low educational outcomes in this country. Instead, we're going to skip all that and go right to what we might do to improve the effectiveness. So the question is, what happens between the lab and the street? Well, first of all, the agency implementing the program has to choose a program to implement. And that all by itself can be paralyzing because you look around the internet, you read the literature, there are lots and lots of programs that can claim statistically, good statistical evidence for the effectiveness of their intervention. But how is an agency in a city or a rural county supposed to decide what program? They can be paralyzed by the choice they face. Between the lab and the street, you have the availability of resources. We'll talk more about that in a minute. The fidelity of implementation, that's already been written about a fair amount, and that's a lot of what we're going to be concentrating on in our work. The qualifications of staff and the management capacity of the agency. The characteristics of the families, and I'll emphasize this a little more a bit in the future as well. Choosing a program that you can implement for every family you choose is inconsistent with everything I've heard today. Everything I've heard today is that children are different, and they're different in very important ways, and any implementation of an early literacy intervention should take into account the specific characteristics of the family and the children involved. Otherwise, you will tend to have either more expensive program than you need or lower effectiveness than you could have hoped for. The child's environment, school, home, neighborhood, these are all important factors. We're going to focus completely on an early literacy home intervention program, but many programs have much broader focus. And we know that we need to address some of these other factors if our early literacy intervention is going to have long-term good effects on the children. Many of you are researchers working in this field. My area is policy design. I'm sort of a policy engineer, would be a way of describing. So I want to think, how do we design a policy that we can implement that will use the output of your laboratory work and allow us to create an effective program? And we have to think about the design stage. Can you see the dot? Oh, so I can't see it. Oh, that's good. Okay, so you start off with the design, you implement a program, and then you evaluate the program, and that feeds back into the design. And one thing I want to talk about today is that you don't want to miss the opportunity to refine the implementation as you are doing it. So we don't want this just to be seen as a circle, because at the implementation point, we now have the ability to evaluate how we're doing and respond to what we find out as we are doing the implementation. So we take the information from our implementation, part of which will be observations directly from the households involved, and apply the information we find to evaluating the program and improving it as we implement it. So talking about program design for a minute, you know, someone like me is standing on the shoulders of giants. I look at all the work you all have done today, and I'm very impressed with the ability you have to find new tools and to show their effectiveness in the laboratory that you can use out in the world. We have lots of different ways of doing that, and I just listed a few of the programs. And there are other programs that can also claim a good effect on early literacy. They all claim to have good experimental evidence for the effectiveness of their programs. And I'll mention again how confusing this must be to someone in early Head Start or a social service agency in a place that really needs these kind of programs. Well, what if I choose the wrong one? So in the wild, it's often hard to find statistically significant effects. Effect sizes are often quite small, but none of this should surprise us, because implementation is critically important. And desirable outcomes only occur when an effective and appropriate program is implemented well. All right. So when we think about implementing a program, we need to think about who are the families involved, what are their characteristics, and what are their incentives. In the field of economics, one area that has received way too little attention is thinking about the model of parental investment in their children. Economists like to think about these things in terms of markets and capital and things like that. And so we're thinking about models of capital investment, a parent investing in the characteristics of their children. And there's a lot we don't know about that. And we should be using these new tools to help us understand more about parents and their willingness and ability to invest in the skills of their children. We need to know what other services are in the mix, right? If a child is identified as needy, there are many triggers. There are many programs that are triggered by that determination. And this is only one of the others. That's one reason we may have trouble distinguishing the effects of this program, because they're always embedded in many more. Does the implementation have fidelity? I've talked about that. Do agency resources match the need? And finally, evaluation. And evaluation, the immediate evaluation of a program, what are the critical indicators of success? What are the reasonable benchmarks? These are not easy questions to answer, but they need to be answered, because we have to know what is it we need to observe while we're implementing the program if we know to know it's going well while we're doing it. And are the observations consistent with our expectations? In the long term, we'll have other measures that we'll use. Now let me talk to you in particular. I've done it much more time. Let me talk to you about what we're trying to do with Project Swell. We want to use our ability to observe directly both the implementation and the response to that implementation to implement a program with high fidelity, to lower the cost of implementation. I have no nurses there. I don't have anything against nurses except the cost of sending them out to people's homes. If I have to use nurses, I can tell you I can identify lots of places who won't be able to implement this program because it'll be too expensive. So we have to find a way to do it without nurses. Not because nurses aren't great, because they're a scarce commodity. Serve all families by responding to specific circumstances, which we'll be able to observe. Provide families with feedback on their progress, which has been repeatedly mentioned today. And bundle it all up for easy implementation. Let me just show you why we're working in Southwest Virginia. SWEL stands for Southwest Virginia. I've forgotten the rest of it. The Southwest. Anyway, you can see the problem here. This is the people in Southwest, these counties in Southwest Virginia, have just more than half have completed high school. Very few have completed college. They're a very poor area. So we're going to ask how we can take the results of clinical research to effectively meet the needs of these children, but we need to do it in the back hollers of Appalachia. This is the area where I grew up, and I know the need. Because I grew up in this area and saw the intense poverty and the low education levels of people in this region. And unless we can improve these things, the prospects of the children are the same. Can it be implemented by understaffed, underfunded, stressed out social service agencies which are constantly under threat of losing their budget? Right? Well, we have to figure out what we can do, because that is always going to be true. So our model is continuous observation and response, and it is only the advent of this sweet new tool that allows me to talk about something like this. I can now observe what's going on in my implementation, try to make it have higher fidelity, and try to respond to specific circumstances, and try to make changes to the program if I see it's not working in place. So our program is to recruit early Head Start families, to do the standard testing at the beginning, have a 12-week dialogic read and play intervention, which I won't go into. You all know about those things. And then post-treatment evaluation with follow-up. wrap the program together with expertise. Local social service agencies, local Head Start agencies simply don't have it. We need to provide TurboTax, is my example for these people. I don't know anything about tax law, but I do my taxes every year. TurboTax gives me the expertise. Why can't we provide the local social service agencies with turbo early literacy intervention? We should be working toward that. And then we want to include self-audit so that management of the local social service agency can implement the program. This may sound like a tall order, but if we know how to create literacy in the lab, we ought to be able to find ways to take it to the street. This is not too much to ask, and I think it's a very important part of the research agenda. Now, this is just a long way of saying that reading and conversations should be fun for parents and children, or Eliza said it differently when she learned how much fun words were. Right, again, this may be lost on a few of you. But I've always been in love with her. Thank you very much.